Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for today's episode. I'm so excited to bring with me today, Mr. Dave Hauser. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dave. I'm super excited to have you here. Please tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into that realm.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Kat, thanks for having me on. I am Dave Hauser. My brand is The Financial Nomad. And basically, I help people find the lost money that they've had along the way in their life and understand how the financial system can work for them when they regain control and get back on the right using a compass, right? Just to use kind of a orienteering thing. We use a compass to get you back on track and so you can use more of your money and keep more of your money along the way. How I got into this field was completely backwards. I was a college coach for 20 years. And one day about a little over 10 years ago, I figured that I had no idea what I'm doing with my money. And I was following all the rules, what everybody told me to do. And I never seemed to have anything left over at the end of the month and made me start questioning everything. And as I started diving into that, I realized that some of that information may not be what I really want to have happen. Mm. And right. So we all have unique lives that we live. Not everybody wants the same thing, but everybody's given them the same plan financially. So it just didn't start making a lot of sense to me. So the more I dove in, the more questions I had, which kind of spawned me going off into a completely different world in the financial services and working for a big firm that I did. I really realized that maybe the financial system's not really after a person's best interest, the individuals. Right? There's some conflict of interest there. And I didn't like that. So I've gone off my own, started my own company now, The Financial Nomad. And my services are out there to help people understand everything that I didn't know. And if I can save somebody those 10 years of me learning all my mistakes or where my mistakes were or how to be more efficient, that's what I'm here to do.
I absolutely love that. And it's funny that you say that too, because a lot of people that I have chatted with that are in the entrepreneurial world, a lot of us who are natural born leaders, the reason that we get into whatever niche that it is because we want to help others surpass what we did, which took us a lot longer to figure out, right? So it's a way for us to be able to give back to those once we realize the value in what we have learned.
Yeah. One of the things that when I first started, I was like, oh my God, how many people do I know that don't know any of this stuff? And it was surprising to me at the time. There was a lot of people that didn't know any of those things. Mm-hmm. And it was like, why is that? why does everybody think the same thing? Or everybody does the same thing, whether or not they actually believe that that's in their best interest or not. So, you know, people are a lot out of alignment a lot of the times in what they believe and what they're doing. And this, how do we get that back into having a purpose for your money? Right. Mm-hmm. Because your money is just a tool to help you get the things that you want out of your life. Let's make that as efficient as possible so that you can do more of the things that you actually enjoy doing with your life. Because how bizarre is that?
Right. Totally get that. And it's funny too, because, you know, that's one of the things that I see that's been circling lately in a lot of the memes or things on social media is people that are trying to actually live their lives now versus waiting until they retire and then trying to make up for that time. Like, people are really starting to find that it doesn't balance out.
So You know that I've been on the road traveling a little bit. My thing has become, for the longest time, at least the last 10 years, 10, 15 years, I have said to myself that, and everybody around me, I want to travel the country and see places I haven't seen before. So yesterday, I live in Atlanta or outside of Atlanta, but I got back from a trip to Fargo, North Dakota, where I was speaking at an event. But along that trip, I went all up the East Coast through the Carolinas and to my parents to drop my dogs off. To Columbus to go to Columbus, Ohio to visit friends, up through Chicago, Wisconsin to see places that I worked at before in coaching, and then to Minnesota to have lunch with a friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then from Minneapolis, I went to Fargo and then backtracked. And so there's 13 or 14 states I've visited, some with my dogs, some not with my dogs. And it's just, that's my life. That's how I want to live my life, right? My new word lately has become liberty. And everybody uses the word liberty, but when I looked up the word liberty, it was freedom without restraints.
Ooh.
So when I look at my life, yes, I want freedom because I want freedom of my thoughts, my money, the people I associate with, all those things. They add up to having true liberty. And doing the things that you want to pursue, including starting a business, including having the finances in your financial position so that you can go do those things, knowing you're not worrying about what happens if, right? Because I've already planned that, right? I've already planned for the worst possible scenario and for you to be in the best position at that point. Right. Instead of everybody in the financial world, what do? They plan for when the going's good, but then they dodge phone calls when you know stuff's hitting the fan and they don't want to talk to you at that point. It's like, no, man, this is like the whole reason I'm in this field is to be with that person when they're facing that storm. That's why I like, so my logo is a buffalo. Because buffaloes face the storm when the storm's coming. They get through the storm faster so they can come out to the other side and go about their rest of their life, right? And that's kind of become how my whole brand is built. We want to help you confront those storms, whatever it is, because it's going to happen at different times and different points in our lives. And to have somebody there with you, guiding you through the storm, get you to the other side, be in a better position, have more knowledge, more skills than you had before, so that you can go about living your life on your terms. That's what I believe people are capable of doing. 10 years ago, I had no idea how to do that. Right now, that is my whole purpose in my life.
I love that. I love the buffalo reference. That is so, so unique, especially since like I just recently heard the story of that and what the buffalo do. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense when you really think about it. Like if you want to get through it quicker, you might as well hit it head on, right? I absolutely. So I just think that's so unique. Now I have to ask you because, sure, no, go ahead.
No, but we're taught other things, right? We're taught to defer. We're taught to push back, right?
Yeah.
And so when we were talked a minute ago about deferring life to a later date, right? Pushing back and retirement and all these, why would you do that? Like for me, it made no sense to do that anymore because I was around young kids that were passing away or had catastrophic injuries or illnesses. It's like 18 to 22 year old kids have these things happen to them, not on a regular basis, but they happen to people.
Yeah.
Who's to say I'm going to get to 65?
Sure.
I want to live my life while I can and be able to do the things that I'm able to do now. I'm not deferring that anymore. And it's just, if people stop and rethink what they really want to do and experience in life, I'm not saying you have to go on a 10 days drive or a sabbatical or a 6 month tour of the country or anything like that, but you could take a day.
Yeah.
You could take a weekend. You could take a Wednesday in the middle of the week, a day off, from your job to go do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was coaching that that just wasn't even possible. And now every day it's possible for me to do whatever I want. Still have, you know, obviously there still needs to be money coming in to pay my bills and stuff, but I've downsized everything so much that my monthly expenses are relatively low.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, paying, just helping people go through whatever they want to accomplish and mm-hmm. Going through some options and what's available for them.
I love that. Now you had talked about, you said that, you know, there's a ton of people that really don't know what we're doing with our money. Like you were saying, we tend to hand it off and we expect other people to kind of handle it for us. And it's just something that we've been taught, right? Or it's a societal norm, right? That everyone is understood. What would you say is one of the most common things that you seem to be, or you find yourself helping people with when it comes to figuring that out?
No, great question. And this morning I was reading something on LinkedIn, right? There was an article, from US, what is it, Bank of America. And they were crying, quote unquote crying, that you know, the wealth transfer, you know, the wealthy are taking their money out of savings accounts and putting it to use in other things.
Mm.
And it's like, everybody has the same tools. Why do you have to label it only the wealthy do that?
Yeah.
Because only the wealthy have the knowledge about some of these products. So the simplest thing is finding a high interest savings account, right? I talk about Ally Bank all the time. I think their savings mm-hmm. account is 3.0 now, something wow. like that, right? So to take it from Bank of America, which is 0.08 or less than 1%, and move mm-hmm. it into an account that you're getting 3% on, who's now getting a better benefit? Right?
Yeah.
Because they're crying about paying out less than 1% interest to their in their savings account because they have all this overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to a bank that's online, they don't have the overhead. They can afford to pay you more interest. That means your money's working for you better, more efficiently. And that's just one place, right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things you can do with your money. And it's just, I didn't know about it. I'm here to share with you. These are the places you can do it, right?
Yeah.
And still have control over it. Not getting that, right? So when we're talking about people want to hand over their retirement accounts,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing, right? Does it make sense to hand your money over to somebody that barely knows you?
No, not at all.
To make your financial decisions 20 years down the road?
Yeah.
When in fact, we don't know what's going to happen in the next month, right? It's just projections. That's mm-hmm. all they're basing it off of. And the difference between that and how I do things is we set a baseline. We make progress, right? We measure the things we do. Mm-hmm. And the next time we meet in 30 days or 90 days or a year, we look backwards at all the stuff we've accomplished since our last meeting. And it's like, here's progress. I'm not looking out into some fantasy land telling you all's going to be well when I know something along the line is going to trip up your plan. We want to build as much flexibility as possible.
Mm.
And the reason people want to have push their money off, a reason potentially to push your money off to somebody else managing it, is you don't have to take ownership of it, of any mistakes you make, right?
True.
Because it's hard to be honest with yourself about, oh, I screwed up.
Yeah.
It's this guy's fault or this gal's fault. It's like, well, ultimately it's our fault if we give up control of our money. So there's really nobody to blame either way but yourself.
Yeah.
So to have a better understanding about how all of these things work as a comprehensive plan, you'll be better able to make the decisions that are going to be providing you the most benefits for the longest period of time with the least amount of penalties so that you can live your life.
Makes total sense. And it's interesting that you say that too, because, you know, a lot of people talk about finding ways to invest and do certain, you know, things like that so that your money can grow. And one of the ones that I was recently reading about was the 401k, which in my personal opinion, doesn't really align with the way people do things nowadays. And the 401k, if anybody doesn't know, you should look this up, was originally created like way back in the day to help the companies kind of offset and be able to make money off of their people after they were there. Whereas, you know, everyone thinks that, oh, that's my retirement. But you, because of the stock markets, I mean, one day your money could look like it's great and the next day it could look like it's horrible, right? And then you can't even touch it without a 30% penalty until, what is it, 65? So you don't even actually have a grasp on that in the case that you did actually need it, unless you want to be penalized for using it.
Right. Yeah. So the guy that came up with the 401k, right? The 401k is actually a tax code in that Internal Revenue Code. That's what it is. Ted Banna is the guy's name. And the original purpose of those was to get executives that made a lot of money to reduce their yearly tax liability for the year. And then that's to happen in the 70s. In the early 80s, Wall Street gets hold of this. Oh my gosh, we could probably make everybody a whole lot of money. Because if you look at a chart, in the 1980s, the income for people on Wall Street shot through the roof simply because how they were handling more money, right? Okay. For people. And it's like, so let's think about this. Since the 1970s, my lifetime till now, people have put more money away into the stock market for their, you know, their future. Yet there's an all-time high level of debt that people have. And so there's less savings in our account, right? True savings. Mm-hmm. That means liquid cash that you have control over, right? And it's accessible to you at any time.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting money away for the future in exchange for a lower tax burden this year. That's when in the future, do you think taxes are going to be up or down? Right. So if most people are going to say, most people I talk to are going to say taxes are definitely going to go up.
Yeah.
So why not pay taxes now instead of paying a higher tax rate later? It just doesn't make any sense.
True. Yeah, very true.
Right. So not only are you going to potentially have a higher tax burden, you're going to have more debt than ever. Like, that doesn't seem like the recipe for success for me.
Yeah. Right?
Coming from a coaching background, we want to be able to put people in the best position as quickly as possible so that they can take advantage of their skills to create a better position for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's not what we're being taught from the financial industry, the financial services industry. And it begs the question, why is that? Right.
Yeah.
Who's benefiting the most from that point? You know?
Not the people
that are working their butts off to give money to somebody else so that person can have an income. I'm not saying that's bad or anything, but I want people to be honest. I would prefer that people were being honest with the people that you're managing your money, right? Mm-hmm. I'm making 1% off your money every month so that I can feed my family.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you don't want to pay those fees, don't pay those fees.
Yeah, right? Very true.
So yeah. I've become more self-reliant than anything else. And I believe that should apply to your finances as well.
Mm-hmm. Right?
If you need help, you reach out to somebody and get help and get some guidance. But along the way, adding different skills and different knowledge and of different products, right? It's just like any other tool out there, whether you're using a chainsaw or a reciprocating saw or any type of saw, they're all different. They're all slight, you use them slightly differently and for different mm-hmm. projects. Financial products are the same way.
Makes total sense. Which brings me to my other key piece that I want to make sure we bring up as well, because, you know, we always tell people, and it's something that I've had to learn over the years, that if you don't have the knowledge, right, find someone who does, coach, mentor, whatever the case may be, so that you can learn and have someone help you along the way to make it easier. And I love the fact that that is what you do for your people, is to teach them that. And one of the really interesting parts that I absolutely love, is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here too, is the fact that people can meet with you and have a conversation and learn without losing a ton of their money in the process. So can you give us a little bit of a background about that? Because I love that you're willing to help people authentically.
Yeah. So when people go into their HR department for their job, they fill out the risk tolerance for their, whatever the retirement plan is, right? Risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what their risk tolerance is? Like, that's such an abstract kind of thinking. Because you don't know what your risk tolerance is until you're losing something, right? So I don't know anybody that really wants to lose anything, right? So it's understanding what's at risk, what a risk is,
mm-hmm.
and then to really kind of dive into what investment is, how much knowledge should people have over an investment, right? So you work with a lot of real estate people and you've been in that world for a while. If people wanted to make a real estate investment, but they never did a deal before, are they at greater risk compared to somebody that's done 10 deals?
Yeah.
Right. So the less knowledge you have over something, the greater your overall risk is.
Mm-hmm.
And if how many
Oh, you froze. I lost you, Dave. Can you hear me, Dave? Dang it. That's such a good point. Oh, I'm sweating my butt off, though. I can't open my window. Sorry, I'll cut that part out. Just keep recording. Just keep spinning. Oh, come on, Dave. Come on. Where'd you go? It's okay. I don't have anything after him anyway, so make sure. He's all I got, so we can keep going. Crap. I think he's on. Shit. Oh, I've been talking to him. It's been through email.
Oh my gosh, my phone overheated and just shut down on me. That's unbelievable.
No worries. So, like, literally, you were in the beginning of saying the people and it just like cut. So we can just backtrack and start from there. I can splice it in. Like it's no big deal at all.
it was talking about the people making the decisions, right? About their with lack of knowledge.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah. So when people are, you're signing up for a 401k plan that you really don't have a lot of knowledge about, right? How many people are actually experts in the field or in the experts of the stock market, right? Most people I ask that question to when I'm meeting with them, they're like, oh, I'm probably on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 1. Or I've had people say negative numbers. They don't understand the complexity of the, and because it's, they understand what the stock market is, but not necessarily the exchanges and how the market works. And it can be a complex thing. So if you have no knowledge over something, your risk immediately goes up.
Right.
So if the, let's just use real estate. If you have a real estate investor that's been doing it for 10 years, they've done a bunch of deals. They know what to look for. They know how to best put numbers together to make the deal work, which means their risk is much lower than a new person.
Yeah. Because
the learning curve is much higher. So if people are putting money into an area that they don't really have any knowledge over, and they don't have any control over, is that a recipe for winning, or is that a recipe for potential disaster down the road?
Yeah.
I happen to go with the more disastrous part because I like to have control over these days what my money's doing for me. And if it's not creating benefit to you, and if it's not coming back to you on a monthly or quarterly basis, you may want to rethink things. Because those 401k plans or those retirement plans, how much cash flow do they produce for a person each month?
Yeah, nothing.
It's nothing.
Just sitting there.
Right. So why wait till later down the road when you can have it cash flowing for you now to benefit you now and build assets for later that you can live off of, right? So would it be better it to have just one account that you're relying on for money and a source of money? That's no way to replenish where you're spending that, or to have that same pile of money to be able to spend that freely and easily because you know another source of income is coming in to replace it.
Yeah.
And if there's, you know, and if you can replace it all, wouldn't you want all that? So you're not leaving your spouse, your kids, or any of your legacy planning without income or, you know, some type of asset to replace things.
Yeah.
If they were to lose you, it just seems backwards to me.
Yeah. So, a lot of it, it really is. And I think that that's, again, like you said, it's just not something that a lot of people are taught, because then that would give, in my personal opinion, it would give us too much freedom. Right. And then there's not that control of taxes and things like that, because we are the ones that are more in control of our money, which is one of the reasons why I really enjoy talking with you too, because you come from such an authentic place for helping people, and people can reach out to you and have these consultations. And correct me if I'm wrong, where you're not going to charge them up front to have that conversation, because it's knowledge that we need to have, right?
Yep. So these are conversations that I would have no matter what, any time of the day. And when, if I were to charge somebody, I would feel like that'd be a tax on their time and their money.
Mm-hmm.
And I would prefer not to pay more taxes, because I think we're paying enough taxes as it is. Although there's a purpose behind taxes, I don't think we should have to excessively pay.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk to me, why the hell would you want to pay me? Right? Just to have a conversation that I already have with somebody. Mm-hmm. If there's something I can help you with down the road, the companies I work for, they pay me. Right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever going to write Dave Hauser a check. Because... Yeah. And they're certainly not going to do that ahead of me producing results for them. Mm-hmm. And that's how the financial world works. You pay money up front to have a plan put in place for you, whether or not that plan is going to be successful or not, nobody knows.
Yep.
That doesn't seem right, right? A real estate agent isn't going to get paid until they close on the sale.
Yep.
A plumber is not going to come to your house and say, well, it's going to be $500 for me to fix this pipe. They're going to fix the pipe, calculate the time, effort, and supplies, and then you're given a bill.
Yep. Right?
I believe that's how business should work.
Yeah.
Even about money, because I'm no different than anybody else. I just look at things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's my personal compass is I don't believe that people should pay me for something that I would already be doing.
Yeah. Right.
And a conversation I easily and freely have with anybody, and I give all my stuff away anyway. It's like, even if you never do business with me, you're going to have a system to help you kind of put your finances in order anyway.
Yeah.
And if there's down the road, you ever, somebody else that you know was like, oh, you need to talk to Dave. This guy, he can help you out. Then all I'm looking for is introduction to spread my messages to more people.
Yeah. Which I love, because in my personal opinion, that's how you want to grow your business organically, right? And you have so much knowledge behind you that, especially with people just being able to have a conversation, like who wouldn't, right? And the fact that you do have products that can help people and that's how you get paid, I think gives a lot of people the advantage. And to be honest, should give them the push, right? To at least have that conversation to see where they sit, because so many of us are not taught how to manage our money ourselves. We're taught to hand it off to someone else and hope that they manage it correctly without having that in-between conversation, right? Like even my CPA that I work with, I am constantly bothering him. What does this mean? What does this mean? Explain this to me. Why would you break it down this way? Like I want the details, because while I trust him to do his job, I also want to understand why he made the choices that he did, because that's still my money. That's still my taxes. It's still my information that's being handed in. Now, I am very blessed to have an amazing CPA who will have any conversation with me and break it down, because I'm constantly bothering him. But if you don't have someone like that, especially someone that's handling your money, you are definitely in the wrong area, and you should be very, very careful, because anyone that you are dealing with that is handling any part of your business or your personal life, if they're not willing to explain it to you so that you better understand it, that to me is a problem in itself.
Yeah. And one of the things that in the whole financial world, the language is so confusing, right? Mm-hmm. The products alone are so confusing. Words are used interchangeably all the time, even though they may mean different things in different parts of the financial world. So it's like, I didn't understand any of that stuff. I went out and sought the knowledge myself, right? Because I wanted to know. And part of the process is just sitting down, making people feel comfortable talking about their money, first of all.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was uncomfortable and ashamed of how terrible my situation was. I didn't mm-hmm. want to talk to anybody, but I did. And I picked up one thing here, one thing there from people. And it's like, okay, now I start putting together my own process and my own plan and my own system. It's like, this works. And then it kind of develops even greater, the more proficient you become at things. But becoming more confident with your money changes everything. It changes your behavior, it changes your relationships. It changes your confidence level, right? And it makes you more astute when you're buying things, because you're going to be able to dig in deeper. How's this really benefiting you? You know, is this something I really need? Is this something that I really want? They're two mm-hmm. different things, right? And you should be able to get both of those things at life, but understand that there's a cost to everything too. So if you spend today's dollar, you don't have it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's just walking people through those types of things. There's a cost. There's a cost to everything. It doesn't have to be financially, but there's going to be a time cost. There's going to be tax cost. There's going to be an effort cost. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And if we were to look at our finances the way we look at other aspects of our life, it would be different, right? Because if you set, right? So, and I always use the analogy of hunger, right? Why do people eat? It's usually not even because they're hungry. It's because they're bored. They're stressed.
Yeah.
Hunger. And hunger is probably the third thing they eat, right? Time of day, people eat because it's 5 o'clock at night. That's dinner time. Yeah. I'm not hungry. And people make financial decisions the same way all the time. You know, they just buy things just to buy things. And all that stuff ultimately is just stuff. And if we can create a more efficient path and understanding why you're spending money on things, awesome. You're going to be better off down the road. So that's me on my soapbox.
No, I love that thought process though, because it does make sense. I even had to catch myself, especially in the eating thing, because I would find myself doing that. I would just kind of like snack all day long just because I was doing stuff and I was like kind of bored, or it was a way to kind of do something else with my brain at the same time. And then I realized it's not because I'm actually hungry. So now I've switched that out to just having a bottle of water, right? So now that's my in-between thing, but I've never thought about it that way in regards to how we do spend our money. Is, you know, that's a unique way to look at it.
I'll go even a little bit nerdier on you. Imagine every day you're walking by a candy dish and it's just a couple pieces of candy every day, right? A couple pieces of candy every day for 20 years can add up, right? It can add up to extra weight. And that's how people gain 20 pounds, 20, 30 pounds over all that time. They don't realize that they're gaining weight. Our finances are the same way. Oh, we're spending a little bit here on Amazon. Oh, we're paying 1% on these fees, right? But over time, you're giving up the use of those dollars to either somebody else building their business like Amazon. I'm a huge proponent of Amazon, by the way. I'm not trying to kill you, Amazon. But we spend needlessly on things because it's convenient for us.
Yeah.
Instead of having a process to be like, oh, do I really need this? Why am I buying this? Right? So there's a catch, you know. If you put like a day off, let me think about this for a day. And tomorrow, you don't want it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
But it's the same way, you know, over time is the real erosion of your money, not today. Because people think of low fees when in their retirement plans as, oh, it's just 1%, or it's just, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But over 30 years, that's an incredible taking of your money when you go to pull it out when you need it the most.
So
again, that's another thing that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, because who's really benefiting from that the most at that point?
Yeah, definitely. That makes total sense. So thank you so much for your time, Dave. I have loved having you here. We could nerd out on this. I could ask all kinds of questions, but I could try to keep it under time limit. So one thing I always love to ask for my guests is there some type of quote, piece of positivity, or piece of advice that you would love to give to the listeners today that could help them personally or in their business?
Oh, that's a great question. I could have had like 10 different things, but I'm drawing a blank that right now. I think my biggest takeaway is we each have the skills. We each have the knowledge to put things in better control of our lives. If we just take the time to understand how those things work. So take more time to understand, right? Your greatest investment is you, right? Your greatest asset is your ability to earn an income, right? Your paycheck. And keep more of that if you can. Learn how to do that. So that's probably not what you're looking for, but I think that's a big thing for me, is learning to keep more of your income and how to do that as efficient as possible.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. I wrote it down. The greatest investment is you. You are your greatest investment. I absolutely love that. And I think a lot of us don't think about that because we are so busy investing in other people. Just like you said, whether it's time, whether it's money, it's your effort. All of those things are costs. We just don't think about it that way, mm-hmm. but it really is, which can deplete other areas of your life. So Dave, do me a favor, please share where everyone can connect with you, reach out with you, follow you.
So easiest place to find me is on LinkedIn. Dave Houser, LinkedIn, H-O-U-S-E-R. I have a webpage coming out. It's called www.fnfreedom.com, Financial Nomad Freedom. And I'm on Facebook. Find me anywhere on social media. Instagram is the Financial Nomad. And feel free to give me a call or a text too. Number is 860-878-2917. That's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Well, I appreciate that. And make sure that you guys, anyone from the podcast, you guys are letting, you know, Dave know that's how you got in touch with him. Give him some feedback on his episode and how much amazing information and knowledge that he's given everyone today. Don't forget, I'll have all of Dave's information in the show notes as well so that you guys can connect with him on whatever level works best for you. So Dave, thank you again so much for being a part of today's episode. I thoroughly enjoyed having this conversation. And I do think this is something that a lot of people need to make sure they are digging into in their lives, whether you run your own business, work for corporate, whatever the paid place may be, you still need to have control of your finances, or at least understand what is going on with them, right? So thank you again so much for being a part of today's podcast. And to everyone else that's out there, don't forget, do one thing nice for someone else each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a wonderful day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.